As we come together on this evening, thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us, thanking Him for giving us the time to come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for Sister Dominga coming back to the fold. We will continue to rejoice in that, continue to give God thanks. The word rejoice, it means to experience joy or gladness in a high degree. We find in the book of Acts, chapter 8, when the eunuch was baptized and he came out of the water, the Bible says that he went away rejoicing, This evening, I want to talk to you on that subject of rejoicing. And as we look at it and think about it, let us think about our lives and try to get an understanding why that there are some people that express their joy and others do not. Some have just quit rejoicing altogether. That is a shame. And we're going to look at some reasons why a person does not rejoice. See, there needs to be joy, or should be joy, of being a Christian. Joy in being a Christian. You know, we talk to people about coming to the Lord, and as we talk to them, many say, yes, I want to do what's right. I want to get my life in order. You hear that individual saying, when things are the way I want them, or when I get things straightened out, then I'm going to come to Christ. There's no way possible that a person get their life right outside of Christ. But they want to wait until they get their lives together. Their lives are still upside down when they're out there in the world doing what they want to do. There is joy in being a Christian. We look at it and we think about it. Why should Christians rejoice? We're going to look at that. Why should Christians rejoice? And many of you can give me answers right now why we should rejoice. One is that we have a great hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that one day we'll be able to spend our eternity with Him. Another, why don't some Christians rejoice? Why do some Christians not rejoice? One of the main reasons why some Christians don't rejoice is because they're living a life of sin. They're ashamed of that life, but yet they don't want to do anything about it. So why don't some Christians rejoice? And then what will help Christians rejoice? What will help Christians rejoice? By coming together with other saints, by doing the things that God wants them to do. And we're going to look at these things, and as we look at them, I want you to figure out which one of these categories, these last two, are you one that don't rejoice, or you one that, you know, need the help to rejoice, and are you actually doing what you're supposed to? The scripture reference again from the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice. You think Paul was just writing that to the Philippians just to be writing it to them? No, he was trying to encourage them. And we need encouragement today to tell us to rejoice. Rejoice. You know, people walk up to you, you got a frown on your face, they say, smile. Look at them, I don't have nothing to smile about. Matter of fact, won't you leave me alone? But you know, we need to encourage people. Now, I tell people, you know, you don't have to necessarily be always walking around with a smile on your face, laughing in people's face, you know, in order to be able to rejoice. Rejoicing is something that comes from the inside. But as it is in the inside, it comes out and people see the joy that you have. There should be a joy in serving God. When you come through those doors, and let me say this again, when you come through those doors, and as you come through those doors, you come, you know, early. Why do you come early? You come early so you can shoot the breeze with the elders in the back. I find joy in that. I don't know about anybody else, but I find joy in that. Some of the things we talk about, we laugh about, then there's some things that we have to be serious about. We enjoy those things. And Brother Mark, you know, Anita was saying, you know, as we was walking in, she said, you know, when you see Brother Mark, send him up my way. I got something to give to him. I said, baby, I said, you ain't got to worry about anything, because when Mark comes in, he walks around and speaks to everybody. You know, I do now. I don't know about anybody else. I find joy in what Brother Mark does. You know, I don't know if he enjoyed it. Look at that face he got right now. Oh, he's smiling now, click. I find joy in that, though. I don't know about anybody else. So when we get here and we're able to talk to one another, we should be rejoicing. The Bible is very clear on what we're supposed to do in Hebrews chapter 10 and the verses 24. Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Love. There should be joy in your hearts when you're expressing love to someone. When you're provoking them to good works, there should be joy. and the works that we do, we should find joy in doing those things. For it is not to please any man. It's not to show how much we can do or how much we can't do, but it's to show that we love God and we love Him enough in order to show our good works unto others. Letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Rejoicing in the Lord is something grand. Something grand. Something that we need to do. And we need to do those things. And again, I'm going to use this word. We should be happy in serving God. We serve a living God. We don't serve an idol. We don't serve a God that we have to move from one place to another. We serve a living God. There should be joy in that. We should be able to rejoice in that. We should be able to express this to our families, to our friends, to our co-workers, to our employers. We should be able to express that. And if we're unable to, where is your joy? Where is your joy? Why should we rejoice? In the book of Romans chapter 5 in the verses 1. Romans chapter 5 in the verses 1. Why should we rejoice? The Bible is clear. It's going to give us some answers to why we should rejoice. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. Where is this peace found? It's found in Christ. Found in Christ. There is no peace outside of Christ. You know, you hear people talking about, we need peace in our home. A home without Christ is a home without peace. You know, my life is not right. You know, I can't get any peace. I can't get any rest. Without Christ, you cannot get that. You will not have that. It's a peace, again, and just as joy is. Joy is something that man cannot give you, therefore man cannot take it away from you. We need peace. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have hope, the Bible teaches us, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 3. We have hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse is 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have hope. And look what it says, not just any old hope, not just any old hope, but a living hope, a living hope. Now what are we living for? What are we striving for? We understand again that Jesus came. God sent Him to die for the sins of the world. We accepted who Jesus Christ is. We made that confession and we were baptized for the remission of our sins. And in order to realize that just as He was buried, just as He was raised, just as He's living, we too are buried, we're raised, and we live a life that is pleasing unto Him. For we want the hope of spending eternity with Him. And when we get there, it's no longer hope because we're able to experience that. We're able to be there throughout all eternity. That is going to be a great day. A great day. So why should we rejoice? There's a reward there in verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. It's there. Are you willing to do what it takes in order to get it? Very simple. If someone called you home, well, let me rephrase that. If someone called your cell phone, the reason I'm rephrasing that because we have a house phone and we very, very, very seldom answer it. But if someone called your cell phone and told you that they have a reward for you, first off, you're probably asking, what did I find in order to receive a reward? What did I do in order to receive this? They say, well, don't worry about what you did or this, that, and the other. I have something for you. But what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to get up and you're going to need to come get it. Now, I don't know what everybody in here like, but I do know this, that most of us in here like money. So Malachi, if someone called you up and said they have $20 for you, are you going to question it or are you going to get up and come get it? I don't have it for you. I'm just asking that question. we'll do what we can. He'd be knocking on his daddy's door, his mama's door, saying, hey, I need to go get this $20 that Brother Roland have for me. You know? And they'll, you know, mom and dad be like, well, why do they have money for you? They asking the question, dad and mom, you worry about the wrong thing. Just take me and get my money. See, we want those rewards. We want what someone has in store for us. Do you want the reward of heaven? Are you willing to do what it takes in order to get that reward? To live a faithful life unto God? Are you willing to continue to rejoice as Paul asked the church of Philippi there? Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Actually, he was telling them. He wasn't asking them. He was telling them, rejoice. You have something to be glad about. You have something to be happy about. We do too. We have something to be glad about. We have something to be happy about. We have something to even be proud about. Being a child of God. That is something that you know, we should not say it with a frown on our face. We should not say it with sadness in our heart coming out of our mouth. We should be proud. You know, who are you? I am a child of God. Now, we don't really want to, you know, say it that loud, do we? But we want to tell people. We want to tell people what they can do in order to become a child of God, how they can rejoice. Why are you always happy? Why are you always, you know, just walking around, you know, talking all about all these good things? Why are you doing that? I'm doing it because I have a living God that I serve. I have a risen Savior. I have a hope of eternal life with Him one day. I have that. Where is this found again? Let's look at verse 4. Where is this found? To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. I want you to take note of this word here. This is the Holy Bible. This is God's word. It's sacred. It is something that we need to open up and read. You know, we find that when someone has died and they say, well, you know, we got to probate that will. We got to get everything in order. You know, it's going to be a time where we're going to sit down and everybody's going to get their portion. Everybody here, this is the will right here. You need to open it up and you need to, you know, stand and you need to come forth and you need to receive what God has in store for you in order that you may receive that great inheritance in the very end. Paul said, you know, I have a crown that awaits me, a crown of righteousness, the crown of righteousness. He said, but not for me only, but all those that love His appearing. Are you willing to be in that number? Are you willing to be one that is going to receive the crown in the very end? There is a reward, and we need to do what we can in order to receive it. And then we find in 1 Peter chapter 1 in the verses 5. We continue on down the line there in verse 5. What did it say? Let me get back over here. Verse 5. It says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Can I be taken away? No one can take it away. The Father, He's guarding it, the Bible says. That great reward. You know, there are times where people break in different places and they steal the treasure that is there. But what God has in store for us, the inheritance that God has in store for us, no one can take it away. There are people that, you know, again, when they lose someone and some of the family members, they go in the house and they take things that don't belong to them, things that have not yet been revealed that they're supposed to have. Well, this inheritance that we have that has been promised to us, no one can take it away. But you know what? We can lose it. We don't even have to have our hands on it, but yet we can lose it by not doing what God has commanded us to do. We should rejoice. We should rejoice. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. Again, as we think about this great joy that we have, there is going to be a time where we're going to be able to spend our eternity with God in heaven. And as we spend our eternity with Him, we can rest assured once again that day is going to be a great day. A day in which we will be able to spend around the throne with Him. Let's go back up to verse 9, actually. After this, I looked and behold a great number, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. That's a day in which we can all look forward to. A day in which God is going to be honored. A day in which we are going to be able to rejoice throughout all eternity. There are so many people that can't say that. There are so many people who are not going to have that opportunity to be there on that great day. But you and I, as we have put Christ on, we need to live our lives in a manner that we can rest assured that when we get there, we are going to be able to rejoice. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse is 23. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse is 23. He says, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire to depart and be with Christ, for that it is for better. It is for better. You know, how many of us, you know, right here, right this evening, how many of us can say, you know, I'm looking forward to dying. I'm looking forward to that day. There are some that are unwilling to say that. Why are they unwilling to say that? Because your life is not what it is supposed to be. But Paul, he says, you know, I'm ready. But again, let's look at it. What does he say? I am hard pressed between the two. My desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. He says, it's a blessing to die and to go and be with Christ. But I'm needful right here, right now. And I'm willing to do what I'm supposed to do. Can we say that? That, you know, death is a blessing, that I'm looking forward to that day. I'm not just looking forward to the day I die, that I can go and be with those others that are in paradise, but I'm looking forward to the day of judgment because I'm living my life that is pleasing to God. I am willing to rejoice no matter where I am. No matter what my circumstances, I am willing to rejoice. Why should we rejoice? Why should we rejoice? Let's look at it once again. Death becomes a blessing. A blessing. In death. I'm willing to stand. I'm willing to take a honest stand, be confident that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, that when I die, I am going to be with the Lord throughout all eternity. I'm willing to do that. No tears in that eternal rest, because we know once again that we're going to be rejoicing. You know, people say, you know, these are tears of joy. Well, the Bible said there's not going to be any tears in heaven. So I don't want to hear there's going to be tears of joy. Why are you crying? Because I'm so happy. You don't have to worry about that. He's going to wipe away every tear, the Bible teaches us. And it cannot be taken away from us. There's a reward that cannot be taken away. There's a hope that we're looking forward to receiving that reward that cannot be taken away. And that peace in which we have that surpasses all understanding, that peace that God gives us, it's a great peace. And we need to be able to rejoice in it. Well, why don't some rejoice then? You say you're a Christian. Why do you not rejoice? Why do you not rejoice? Go home on this evening. Call someone that has not been faithful and ask them, how is their life? How are you living? Have you been happy lately? And see what they tell you. See what they tell you. And then ask them why. Maybe it's because of sin. Psalm 51, maybe it's because of sin. And we know, again, that there's a lot of things we can list in this category right here that talks about sin. And as we list those things, we find and we say, well, that's my problem right there. No, I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with this. I'm able to rejoice because, you know, I've been spending time with the wrong people. I've been spending time doing the wrong thing. So therefore, I can't rejoice right now. Matter of fact, instead of rejoicing, I'm depressed. I need some help. And you know where our help comes from, right? Our help comes from the Lord. And we need to understand that. In the book of Psalm, Psalm chapter 51 and the verse is 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold with me a willing spirit. You know, as David was writing this, you know, these words here, thinking about that his rejoicing, his joy had gone away. You know why his joy had gone away? Because he had done something that was wrong. Not just one thing, not just two things, but three things. You know, as David slept with Bathsheba, as he sent for Uriah and tried to get him to go in to cover up the sin, and then as he sent him to the front lines in order to be killed, David's joy had went away. It went away. But here, what is he asking God? Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold with me a willing spirit. Restore. See, we need some people to be restored. We need some people to pray to God. We need some people to confess their sins in order to be found pleasing in the sight of God. Going to chapter 38, verses 1 through 5. Chapter 38, verses 1 through 5. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink, fester because of my foolishness. See, we have to know where the blame lies when we are unable to rejoice. It lies with self. We are the cause of us not being able to rejoice. The things in which we participate in, the things in which we, from time to time, beat ourselves up about, we do not rejoice. Instead of beating yourself up about sin, why not just come away from it? Why not just come back to the Lord and do what is right? Busybodies. We have no one in here that ever fits this category. Busybody. A man that's, you know, involved in other people's business. And I'm not talking about a banker. I'm not talking about your you call those individuals? Your CPA. I'm talking about someone that's getting in your business that don't need to be in your business. Those that are always trying to find out something about somebody in order for them to tell others about things that they should not be talking about. A busybody. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse is 10. 4 and the verse is 10. 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at verse 9 and come down. Now concerning brotherly love and have no need. The Bible says here, let me get back to it. Now concerning brotherly love, we have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is that you are doing to all brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you. Mind your own, let's not even use the word affairs right here. Why don't you mind your own business? If you're minding someone else's business, who's taking care of your business? I believe that we have people that always want to get in other people's business. Tell me, you know, we sometimes, and this busybodies can fall into the same category, or actually it's a different sin as well, as a gossiper. But we want to know what's going on in your life in order for us, you know, we're busybodies now, we're in your business, but we want to gossip about the things that's going on in your life. We don't have time to rejoice when we're doing that, because we're always worried about the next man. That scripture reference that Malachi read, it said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about those things. Let's just rejoice and do what is right. And we have those individuals that don't want to obey the elders. So they can't rejoice. When you're disobedient, it's hard to rejoice. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 17. Hard to rejoice when you're disobedient because you're worried about what's going to happen to you. When am I going to get punished for doing the things that are wrong? When is God going to cause me to give up the ghost and I'm going to be judged according to my life? When you're not obedient, it's hard to rejoice because you're always worried about what is going to happen. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse is 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So we have the elders that are able to rejoice when they're looking after our souls. But we have that individual that's not being obedient that can't rejoice because he or she is not doing what they're supposed to do. I don't saw them rejoice. They have a divided heart. A divided heart in the book of James chapter 1 verse 5 through 8. A divided heart. They have no idea which way they need to go. They have no idea what they need to do. James chapter 1 verse 5 through 8. The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. How can you rejoice when you don't have no idea which direction you're going? How can you rejoice? It's hard. They want me over here. They want me over there. I need to do this. I need to do that. Stop. Back up. Breathe. Read the Word. Believe in the Word. Look again. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Lord, allow me to realize the direction I need to go. Where is the answer? In his Word. Lord, what do I need to do? Where's the answer? It's in his Word. See, you can't go away from the Word. You cannot believe what man is teaching. You have to go to the Word of God and you have to be obedient. Once again, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He's going down the right road, but you know which way he thinks he's going? He thinks he's going down the wrong road. He's unstable. He has no idea. We have individuals that we talk to on a daily basis that are unstable, and we can realize that when it comes to the mental issues, we can realize he's unstable. But when it comes down to the spiritual, do we realize that a man is unstable? We can. How so? By reading the Word of God. We don't have to go and study different religions to know when a man is unstable. Why? Because we have the Word of God. That's all we need. But when we go that extra step, we go that extra mile, and we look at what this denominational group is teaching here, we look at what they call to be faith, we look at those things, and we find that those things are wrong, we realize this as well, that when we start believing the hype, when we start believing what they're teaching, that we become unstable. And it's hard sometimes to see that. Why? Because that's just the way sin is. Satan is slick. He wants you to be blinded. He wants you to, you know, to not be aware of what's going on, your situation, your surroundings. But the Bible tells us that we need to be alert, that we need to be watchful. Why? Because Satan is there. He's creeping around. He is sly. And he's trying to pull us away from the truth. He wants your joy, but yet he can't have it. Why? Because he didn't give it to you. He can't steal it. Let me put it to you like that. What we do sometimes is we surrender it over to him. Here you go. You can have it. I'm tired of using it anyway. I don't want to rejoice anymore. Here, you take it. He got you right where he wants you. Why don't some rejoice? Materialism. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Materialism. This is why some do not rejoice. The parable of the sower. It's very clear what Jesus is teaching here. As we look at it and we read it, we can find that there have been people that we have been engaged with who we find have left, gone back out into the world because of material things. And as for what fell among the thorns, there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. The cares, the riches, the pleasures of this life. People are unable to rejoice. You know, there are some miserable rich people out there. They have no idea of how good it would be for them to serve God. how good they could be in the kingdom, how good it would be to help someone that is in need. They don't realize these things because they're holding on to them. But they're worried. They're worried about how can they get richer? How can I get more? How can I, you know, what party can I throw tomorrow? What party can I throw next week? Joy, again, it's not found in our riches. Joy is not found in the pleasures of this life. Joy is found in Christ. It's found in Christ. What will help us rejoice? What will help us rejoice? You know, we look at it and we have to think, I need some help. I need some help. The psalmist wrote, you know, I look toward the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. We need some help. That will help us rejoice if we would only become children of God. If we would only trust in His Word. If we would only obey what He has said. We can have rejoicing each and every day. We'll never have to worry about getting up on the wrong side of the bed. We don't never have to worry about going to bed angry with anyone. Because we're rejoicing, because we're in Christ. We're doing what we're supposed to do. But I want you to understand our life. If our life were a bed of roses, you would still have those thorns. You would get stuck from time to time. But that should never cause us to quit rejoicing. Pull that thorn out and step back and look at it and say, don't those roses look good? Your life, you're having trials and tribulations. Get it right. Step back and say, it's good to be in Christ. It's good to be able to say that I'm a child of God. Our faith is what's going to cause us to continue to rejoice. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 8. Our faith is going to cause us to rejoice. Again, you know, this faith, you should be grounded in our Lord and Savior, looking at the Word, learning the things that you're supposed to do. Verse 1, actually, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the peace, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. But you're no longer there. Let's keep reading down. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not, listen to what it says now, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Do we have faith this evening? Do we have faith in God's Word? Do we have faith knowing that we're in the right place? Do we have faith knowing that one day we will be with God throughout all eternity? What will help us to rejoice? To know this? To live the way God wants us to live? Using the Scriptures. This will help us to rejoice. See, many people, they write books trying to tell people, trying to convince people that they can rejoice. But yet, as you read that book and you get to the end, you say, well, where's my rejoicing at? Where's my joy? Where can I find it? You can find it in God's Word. Put that book aside. Pick up the Bible. Study God's Word and know what you should do. The Bible is very clear. Hebrews chapter 5 in the verse is 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice and distinguishing or distinguish good from evil. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. When we choose to do what's right, we can rejoice. When we choose to do what's wrong, we have no business rejoicing. We don't have the right to rejoice. You know, you don't have the right to go to work tomorrow and tell people how good of a time you had in the club on Saturday night. That's not your right. What you should do is go to work tomorrow and ask them, you know, how many of you went to worship on yesterday? And some will say, yeah, I went, and some others will say, I did not go. Tell them how good a time you had going to worship. Maybe you didn't like what the preacher was saying. Tell them how good you felt singing praises to God. Maybe you wasn't singing the way you were supposed to. Tell them how good you felt praying to God. Maybe you wasn't praying. Tell them how good it was to receive that paycheck on Friday and was able to give back to the Lord on Sunday morning. There is something that we can find in our worship to God to rejoice about, which it should be everything. It should be everything. Are you willing to rejoice? James chapter 4 and the verses 10. James chapter 4 and the verses 10. Look at verse 8 and come down to verse 10. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will do what? He will exalt you. See, we have to know that we need to humble ourselves. We need to have humility about our lives. And as we do that, the Bible says He will exalt you. He will lift you up. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Oh, are we willing this evening to do that? To draw near to God? To be who God wants us to be? Are we willing? The light in our worship in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 and 14. Delight in our worship. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 13 and 14. If you turn your back, your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you, he says, with the heritage of Jacob, your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We're not worried about the Sabbath day right now, but I just want you to look at that. What we're worried about is coming together to worship God and being able to rejoice in these things, because this is what God has said. He will allow you to rejoice. You have a right to rejoice at that time when you're doing what's right, when all those things I just spoke of, coming in to hear the preacher preach, coming to give as God has allowed you to prosper, coming and praying unto Him, coming and singing praises unto Him that we may edify one another, coming to partake of the Lord's Supper because Jesus gave His life in order for us to live. Delight in worshiping God. And not just on Sundays, but every day as we worship Him in our everyday doings. Whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord. What will help us rejoice? Obedience. Obedience. John chapter 5 and the verses 3. Obedience will help us rejoice. Are you willing to be obedient on this evening? Are you willing to do the things that are right? John chapter 5 and the verse is 3. John chapter 5 and the verse is 3. Starting at verse 1 and coming down. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool of Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. And these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One, the Bible says, was a man there who had been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years. You know, I believe that when we think about, that was 1 John I want y'all to go to actually, but I want you to talk to this about just for a moment here. When we find a person that has been in a spot for 38 years, unable to get what he needs in order to be pleasing to God. The Bible says this, as I continue to read here, and we're going to go over there in just a moment. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed?" And that's the thing that we look at when we start talking about rejoicing. Do you want to rejoice? Do you want what God has in store for you? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." See, sometimes we need some encouragement to do what's right, to be obedient. We need some encouragement. So therefore, we find in 1 John chapter 5 in the verses 3, 1 John chapter 5 in the verses 3, he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." What if the man, you know, heard that command from Jesus, but yet he said, "No, I want to still sit here. I want to let people keep going in front of me. I don't want to really be healed. I'm thinking in my mind I want to be healed, but my actions are showing something totally different. See, I may not be able to walk, but my arms, I can catch you and I can pull you out of my way. No, it's not your turn, it's my turn. The water is stirred. Before you go in, you're going to put me in. I'm going to be healed." 36 years, 38 years, 39, 40. You know, he could have been there 41, 42. He could have been there. But Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." Are you willing to be obedient today? Are you willing to do what is right? Are you willing to come to Christ? Are you willing to be obedient the rest of your life? If so, the opportunity is yours. You are able this evening to rejoice in serving God, being the servant that God would have you to be. If you're here, you're not a child of God, we're going to encourage you to become one. To come and to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. Rising to walk a newness of life. Coming out of that water, the Bible says, walking this newness of life. Rejoicing. I'm a child of God now. I don't know why I waited so long. You know, we serve a patient God, a long-suffering God. There are many of us that should be dead right now because of our disobedience. But God is long-suffering. He's waiting on you to get your life together. But how long will he wait? How long will he wait? Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to confess your faults. We're asking you to repent of your sins. We're asking you to ask for the prayers of the congregation that you may rejoice once again. We can rejoice along with you as we're rejoicing with Sister Domingo coming back to the fold. We're not only the ones rejoicing, the angels in heaven are rejoicing because one has come back. The Bible says if you have 100 sheep, one should go astray. Leave the 99, go after the one. When you find that one, rejoice, rejoice. Are we willing today to rejoice? Are we willing to share the news that one of God's children has come back home? Are we willing to rejoice, being obedient? That is what we need to look forward to, that great day that we can spend our eternity with God in heaven. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.